Hello everybody, this is Jack with the Tuesday, July 23rd edition of the Vermilion County or Commercial News. Today I will begin by reading the cover page article headlined Forensic Identification Made on Missing Minor by Kayla White. On Friday, July 19th, the body of 12-year-old Christopher D. London was found in the Vermilion River less than a quarter of a mile from where he was reported to have fallen into the river. According to a press release put out by the Danville Police Department on Friday afternoon, Danville Police had partnered with the Vermilion County Sheriff's Department Search and Rescue Team and the Illinois Department of Natural Resources in the search for Christopher, since he went missing on Monday evening around 8 p.m. For days, authorities looked all along the Vermilion River by foot and by boat, utilizing two types of sonar technologies and a team of divers. Authorities went back and forth between where Christopher was reported to have fallen in near the Untouchables Motorcycle Club in Danville and the Red Bridge on Grape Creek Road near the Danville Sanitation District. The body was sent to Bloomington for an autopsy. Results are pending and could take up to 6 to 8 weeks, according to the Vermilion County Coroner's Office. An identified Christopher's body was made using DNA evidence, such as dental records. The body was released to the family, who had entrusted Leakes & Sons Funeral Home in Danville, according to Jane McFadden, the coroner. Finding Christopher has been a very difficult task that was both mentally and physically exhausting, due to the sensitive circumstances, said Danville Police Chief Yates, who went on to thank the team who assisted in the search. I appreciate their dedication, skills, and efforts to make this recovery. There are risks in what they do, but they work through it to help bring closure to a tragic event. Our thoughts and prayers are with the victim's family, friends, and our community. Christopher went missing on the evening of Monday, July 15th, when he fell into the river and never resurfaced. According to two other boys who had been down by the river with him, they then ran to the public safety building in Danville to ask for help. After several hours of searching for Christopher that evening, authorities called off the search for the night in the wake of strong winds and storms coming through the area. The search was resumed on Tuesday, July 16th. On Wednesday and Thursday, the search expanded across state lines when the Vermilion County Sheriff's Department, based in Newport, Indiana, joined in the search for Christopher, according to a spokesperson for that office. While the search was still underway, reports began to circulate that a video had been posted on social media of Christopher falling into the water. The social media account the video was allegedly shared to, like several others on Instagram, has posted multiple fights taking place at schools in the area, including some on buses and others in and around Southview Upper Elementary School, where Christopher was a student. There's no video that's ever been brought forth. We investigated that. We went for that. But we have not located any video. We're still trying. Covering ends on that to make sure if there is a video, we see it. But we have nothing, says Chief Yates. It is not a criminal investigation, but detectives are looking into the reports of a video, said Deputy Chief McCord. The investigation is ongoing, pending autopsy results. No official funeral arrangements have been made yet for Christopher, but anyone who wants to help support the family in paying for Christopher's funeral costs may write a check to Leak & Sons with a comment that it's for Christopher London's service. Donations may also be made online. After funeral services have been paid for, any leftover donations will be given directly to the family, says Tamara Leak. We will continue to page A2 with the article headlined Rotary Welcomes Wellness Nutrition Coach at Meeting. Danville Noon Rotary welcomed guest speaker Jen Salvik, integrative health and nutrition coach at Two Roads Wellness Clinic, at their recent meeting. Salvik spoke about anti-inflammatory nutrition practices, healthy food choices, the immune system, antioxidants, nutritional DNA mapping, and much more. The audience was inspired by her knowledge and motivated to make some healthy adjustments to their own weekly shopping lists, according to a news release. Continuing with the article headlined Saturday Showcase at Arts and Music Festival, Billy Gelt and the Blues Deacons performed at Sleepy Creek Vineyard Arts and Music Festival in Fairmont on Saturday, July 20th. Based in Champaign, the band has been performing for more than 35 years. That was their third year in a row of performing at the festival, says frontman Billy Gelt. Visitors peruse art from several vendors inside the Dragonfly building at Sleepy Creek. More than 30 vendors showed up to display and sell their wares, as well as several food trucks, according to the owner, Jeanette Figueroa. This year was the 16th annual Arts and Music Festival, though it was formerly called the Salt Forks Arts and Music Festival when the previous owners hosted it. Now we move to page A2, where we will continue with a few community briefs. Project Success Enrolling Students. Project Success of Vermilion County is enrolling 7th through 12th grade Danville students into its after-hour program. This free program is held Monday to Thursday from 4 to 6:30 p.m. at the Danville Family YMCA. The program offers activities such as field trips, STEM, art, cooking, DIY, guest speakers, and more. Please call 217-446-3200 to find out how to sign up. First Nazarene Church to have VBS. Danville First Church of the Nazarene, 2212 North Vermilion Street, will present the Great Jungle Journey VBS from July 21st to the 25th, from 5:30 to 8 p.m. each day at the church. Children age 4 through 6th grade are invited to attend VBS. Register by visiting their website or at the church the night of the event. Church to have rummage bake sale. Bethel Lutheran Church, 901 West Fairchild, will be having their annual rummage and bake sale on Friday, July 26th, from 4 to 7 p.m., and Saturday, July 27th, from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Proceeds go to local charities. Westville Library to have a book sale. Westville Public Library will have a book sale on July 26th from 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. The library is located at 233 South State Street, Westville. Heading to page B3 into the article titled Junior Speakers Claim 4th Division Title. The Danville Post 210 junior speakers took the first step this weekend toward a third state title in 4 years, defeating Champaign Junior 12-2 in the Champions game of the 4th Division. Junior Legion Tournament at Spalding Park in Champaign. The junior speakers, 23-7, were second in the state last year after winning the title in 2021 and 2022. All year long, our defense and pitching staff has been top-notch, junior speakers coach Jonathan Heck said. One thing we had not been consistent at is at the plate, and we are starting to come around at the right time. Danville had a quick and fairly easy road back to the state this year, with wins over Champaign Junior 10-0, Eureka Junior 4-0, and then Sunday's win over Champaign Junior, in which the junior speakers used a pair of 5-run innings in the 4th and 5th to secure the title. Right-hander Matt Darling was the winning pitcher for the junior speakers, while Cole Miller and Ben Johnson led the offensive attack, with 3 hits each. Miller also had a team high 3 RBIs, while Easton Barney and Easton Bolin each finished with 2 hits and 2 RBIs. For our team, defense and pitching was solid through and through, Heck said. Our hitting was not consistent, but when we needed it, we came through and was able to put the ball in play. We started to find the grass in the 4th and 5th innings of the title game. This year's state tournament will be held in Jerseyville. The Danville Post 210 speakers get a first round bye and will play either Bartonville or Alton, the defending state champs, in an 11 a.m. game on Friday. We are excited about it, and it will be a loaded tournament, Heck said. We came in last year and lost to Alton. I have a few guys who went down to state last year, and they are hungry, and they want to get down there and get the state title back. Continuing with the article titled, No Endorsements from Pritzker, Durbin, Duckworth, and Biden Drops Bid, written by Hannah Maisel and Andrew Adams. After weeks of pressure from fellow Democrats, including 5 of Illinois' members of Congress, President Joe Biden on Sunday announced that he will not accept the Democratic Party's nomination for re-election. Minutes later, he endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris as the party's nominee ahead of the Democratic National Convention scheduled next month in Chicago. In a statement, Harris said she was honored to have the president's endorsement, and my intention is to earn and win this nomination. I will do everything in my power to unite the Democratic Party and unite our nation to defeat Trump and his extreme Project 2025 agenda, she said, referring to a blueprint former Trump staffers had put together that outlines how to decimate the federal agencies charged with regulatory responsibilities. Top Democrats in Illinois, including Governor J.B. Pritzker, offered their praises for Biden's time in the White House. Pritzker added his name to the growing list of influential Democrats endorsing Harris as the party's nominee for president. In a statement Monday morning, Pritzker said he spent hours yesterday talking to fellow leaders in our party, getting and giving input about the road to victory in November, including a conversation with Harris. Vice President Harris has proven at every point in her career that she possesses the skills, strength, and character to lead this country and the vision to better the lives of all Americans, Pritzker said. She represents our party's best chance to defeat Donald Trump in November, and I will work my heart out to help her do that. Pritzker, who has often been mentioned as a potential fill-in candidate for Biden, did not immediately endorse Harris on Sunday, instead focusing on the wider goal of defeating former President Donald Trump in November. Donald Trump is a 34-time convicted felon, adjudicated to have committed sexual assault, a racist, homophobe, and misogynist, Pritzker said in a statement. Trump brags about taking away a woman's right to choose, wants to rip health care away from tens of millions of people, proposes economic policies that will cost the middle class thousands of dollars a year, and threatens the fundamental American ideals we hold dear. I will work every day to ensure that he does not win in November. Pritzker has been a longtime Biden campaign surrogate and staunch defender of the president, and most recently said of Biden that he'd continue to stand behind him so long as he was the Democratic Party's nominee for president. Illinois State Senator Paul Faraci had not posted any official statement as of Monday at 3:15 p.m., and he has declined to comment on Biden's choice to step down, according to his headquarters in Danville. Local Congresswoman Robin Kelly of Illinois' 2nd Congressional District confirmed her ongoing support for Biden, regardless of his choice to end his re-election campaign. In an official statement posted to her website, Kelly reflected on the contributions Biden had made during his term as president, especially post-COVID-19. "I am deeply grateful for President Biden's service to his country. He is a historic leader who has healed our democracy from the damages left by the former president. When President Biden took office, COVID-19 was taking thousands of lives, and people didn't know who to look for leadership. President Biden stepped into the Oval Office, got vaccines into arms, and gave us hope that we'd come out better on the other side of the pandemic." Kelly also expressed confidence in President Biden's ability to continue strong in his term, which will officially end at noon on January 20th, 2025, when the next president is sworn into office. "President Biden will always deliver for the American people. He increased jobs and wages, took action against gun violence, fought to protect reproductive rights, invested in our infrastructure, and united people for a better nation. I am confident he will continue to serve as a great president." Illinois Senators Dick Durbin and Tammy Duckworth also endorsed Harris on Monday, after not immediately endorsing her on Sunday. Durbin and Duckworth were both complimentary of Biden's presidency, with Duckworth claiming that no one has done more for working Americans than Joe Biden. "Now the Democratic Party must unite behind a candidate who can defeat Donald Trump and keep America moving in the right direction," Durbin said in a statement. "I will do everything in my power to help that effort." As of Monday morning, all of Illinois' congressional Democrats had pledged to support Harris as she vies to clinch the Democratic nomination ahead of the party's convention in Chicago next month. Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson also immediately endorsed Harris after Biden's announcement, calling it vital that the Democratic Party unify around Harris. Johnson will be highly visible next month as Chicago plays host to the DNC. "Vice President Harris is the visionary leader that we need now to defeat the threat of another Trump presidency," he said in a statement. "She has proven herself as a fearless defender of our democracy. I look forward to doing everything I can to ensure she becomes our next president." Prior to Biden's announcement Sunday, Illinois U.S. Republicans Mike Quigley and Brad Schuller, Eric Sorensen, Sean Casteen, Downers Grove, and Jesus Garcia had called for Biden to end his re-election bid. Of those five, only Sorensen did not immediately throw his support behind Harris on Sunday. In his statement, Sorensen thanked Biden for campaigning, organized, labor, civil rights, technology, and innovation, and for building a strong middle class. In a statement, Schreiner enumerated Biden's accomplishments, including having guided our nation through and out an unprecedented global pandemic, and having rescued our country from a potential despot, referring to Trump. He also endorsed Harris. Casteen did the same, as did Quigley and Garcia. "As we move forward, it's crucial that we unite behind Vice President Kamala Harris and continue the progress we've made," Garcia said in a statement. "Defeating the resurgence of Trumpism is essential for the future of our democracy." Other members of Illinois congressional delegation who threw the weight behind Harris on Sunday include Robin Kelly, Matt Matheson, Jonathan Jackson, Nikki Budzinski, Springfield, Danny Davis, Jan Sobaski, Evanston, Lauren Underwood, Naperville, and Delilah Ramirez. "I look forward to working with her to realize a permanent ceasefire, immigration reform, and a bold agenda that centers working families," Ramirez said on social media, hitting on themes like the conflict between Israel and Gaza and the U.S. southern border. "Those same themes are ones GOP politicians and operatives spent last week at the Republican National Convention trying to tie Harris including with frequent references to her being Biden's border czar. U.S. Republican Bill Foster, Raja Krishnamoorthy, Schomburg did not immediately endorse Harris or anyone else. Though Foster did write that Biden passed the torch to the next generation to defend our democracy. A few hours later, he endorsed Harris in a follow-up statement. Krishnamoorthy, meanwhile, said Biden's decision to step away from running for a second term demonstrated the true and selfless nature of a life committed to putting the country and his fellow Americans first. The Democratic Party of Illinois struck a tone of urgency in a statement from the DPI chair and the state Republican Lisa Hernandez, Cicero, saying the stakes could not be higher. Donald Trump and J.D. Vance represents a return to policies that favor the wealthy, threaten our health care, and undermine our democratic institutions, Hernandez said. We must ensure that their regressive and divisive agenda does not prevail. Meanwhile, the new head of Illinois Republican Party, who has only been on the job since Friday, took Biden's announcement as the culmination of years of lies from the Biden White House and Democrats shaming anyone who questioned the fitness of the president. We as Illinois Republicans must continue to call attention to J.B. Pritzker's tax and spread pro-criminal agenda that drives families away from the state to protect the rest of the nation. Illinois GOP Chair Kathy Salvey said in a statement poking at Pritzker's possible presidential ambitions. Moving to page A4 for the obituaries, Fullen, Mark A., 62, passed away at 9:35 a.m. at his home on July 19th. Visitation is from 2 to 4 p.m. on Wednesday, July 24th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Service 4 p.m. on Wednesday, July 2nd, with Tracy Thomas officiating. Continuing on page A4, with the article headline, Conservatives Use Shooting at Trump Rally to Attack DEI Efforts at Secret Service. As congressional members on both sides of the aisle grilled U.S. Secret Service Director Kimberly Chettle Monday on how a gunman was able to fire shots at former President Donald Trump in an assassination attempt, several Republican lawmakers seized on gender and the agency's diversity, equality, and inclusion efforts as among the reasons for the security failure. Chittle is a 1988 graduate of Sharman Academy in Danville. "Ma'am, you're a DEI horror story," Republican Tim Burchett of Tennessee told Chittle during the hours-long hearing in front of the House Oversight and Accountability Committee. Wisconsin Republican Glenn Grothman asked the director if she was not hiring men because of your desire to hit certain targets. And Texas Representative Michael Cloud questioned Cheadle's strategic plan for the Secret Service in which she was championed diversity, equality, inclusion, and accessibility, including her support for the 30 by 30 initiative, which seeks to increase the representation of women recruits by 30% by 2030. Does every Secret Service agent meet the same qualifications, or do you have different standards for different people? Cloud asked. Yes, sir. Everyone who moves through the application process has to meet the same standards to become a special agent, Cheadle answered. Conservative backlash against DEI has been on the rise since last June, when the Supreme Court ruled to end affirmation action in college admissions. Several companies had come under attack because of their DEI policies. Among them, John Deere, Tractor Supply, Target, and Bud Light. The latest DEI attack materialized in full view Monday against the Secret Service and Cheadle. But the issue had been brewing ever since the July 13th assassination attempt on at a Trump rally in Pennsylvania, where several female agents were among those protecting the former president, and several conservatives questioned their fitness to serve. There should not be any women in the Secret Service. These are supposed to be the very best, and none of the very best at this job are women, conservative political commentator Matt Walsh posted on X the morning after the assassination attempt. If there's a woman doing a job like this, it 100% means that a more qualified male was passed over. Meghan McCain, daughter of the late senator and U.S. presidential candidate John McCain, reposted Walsh's statement, adding, "The notion that men and women are the same is just absurd. You need to be taller than the candidate to protect them with your body. Why do they have these short women, one who can't holster a gun apparently, guarding Trump? This is embarrassing and dangerous." Photos of the immediate aftermath of the shooting show a female agent shielding Trump with her body. David Glasgow, executive director of the Meltzer Center for Diversity, Inclusion, and Belonging at New York University School of Law, said the fresh DEI criticism is no surprise. "It's now a pretty consistent pattern whenever anything goes wrong that it gets blamed on DEI," he said. After the Baltimore bridge collapse, there were people blaming DEI, and the same happened after Boeing was dealing with the aircraft safety issues. Massachusetts Democrat Ayanna Pressley said it's disgraceful that Republicans are throttling out sexist tropes, blaming women for the security failures at Trump's rally. Continuing with the article headlined, "Harris breaks donation record, claims over half of her needed delegates." Vice President Kamala Harris had a busy 24 hours after being endorsed as the Democratic presidential candidate by President Joe Biden. She secured over half of the delegates she'll need to earn the party's nomination and raised more than $81 million, a record sum for the 2024 political cycle. Harris also spoke Monday at a White House celebration with the NCAA championship teams, her first appearance since President Biden announced he was leaving the race. Meanwhile, the Secret Service director testified before a congressional committee and was called on to resign over security failures at a rally where a 20-year-old gunman attempted to assassinate former President Donald Trump. Here's the latest. Kansas DNC delegates vote to support Harris. Kansas delegates for the DNC met virtually Monday evening and agreed to give all 44 of the state's votes on the presidential nomination to Vice President Harris. "We're united in our endorsement," the delegation's leader, the state party chair, Jenna Ripas, said after the meeting. "Time is not our friend. We have got to be united." Ripas rejected suggestions, some from Republicans, that the Democrats' party is ignoring the will of its primary voters. She said primary voters who backed Biden understood that Harris would be president if something happened to Biden. She said there's still time for other candidates to come forward if they can get enough delegates to sign into their efforts. "This has already been educated through the primary process," Ripas said. "That's why you're seeing us come together so quickly. She has been our choice since 2020, and she is still our choice today." Moving on to the article headlined, "One Person Hurt in Quad Cities Mall Shooting That Sent People Running." Davenport, Iowa, gunshots in an Iowa mall sent people running Monday, and one person was injured and expected to survive, police and witnesses say. Davenport police posted a statement on Facebook that the wounded person had non-life-threatening injuries following the shooting inside North Park Mall in Davenport, an east central Iowa city near the line with Illinois. Police did not immediately provide further details about the shooting or how the person was hurt or their identity. No other injuries have been reported, police said. Authorities did not say whether anyone had been taken into custody in connection with the shooting. This has been Jack with the Vermont County or Commercial News on July 23rd. Have a good day.